So John 19, verses 25 through 27 says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home."
I just wanted to thank you for having me here today and for giving me the opportunity to talk to you a little bit about Joppa House. And I do want to tell you that we do have a newsletter here. You are welcome to pick one up on your way out if you're interested in reading more about us. We put something out about every quarter, so you're welcome to take that with you and read about us. And I do want to, there's the microphone. What happened to it? It was there for a second. So, and I also want to introduce you all to my Joppa girls that all came in. Got a couple here in the back, okay. There's a mom here with a two-year-old and a five-year-old, so she's, obviously you heard the two-year-old, so she's outside with him, so just bear with us with the baby, okay? So, anyway, I do want to start with a story that I absolutely love in the Bible, and it's one that I have preached multiple times, and it is my favorite story, and it is the story where the name Joppa came from. And it is out of Acts 9, verses 36 to 42. So if you have your Bibles, I like the New King James Version, so that's what you'll be hearing today. Same. Are you with me? Got a little catch in my throat here. So Acts 9, 36 to 42, it says, "At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, 'Tabitha, arise.' And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord." Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word and the wisdom that we can glean from it, Lord. So today, during this message, I just pray that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth will be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. So Tabitha was a woman who lived in Joppa, which was a little seaport village just to the northwest of Jerusalem, who served the poor. And she made clothing for the poor. Her lifelong work was taking care of people. Her heart's desire was to help those who were needy and destitute. She was compassionate and devout, full of good works, the scripture says. So, Tabitha generously gave of herself and her resources to others. And in Acts 9, we get a picture of her quietly going about doing acts of charity. Okay, her tool was a simple sewing needle. I would bet that she made very practical things for the people in need, like tunics or blankets or robes or cloaks or maybe even sandals. But she didn't do these things for money. She did them for those who could never pay her back, simply because they needed it. The poverty-stricken, the widows, the sick, the aged, the fatherless. She blessed those people with practical things to make their lives better, and in turn, these things, these practical things, renewed their hearts and lifted their spirits. Kindness was her business, and serving was her assignment from God. Love your neighbor as yourself, it says in Mark 12:31. And Tabitha did just that. It was her life's calling to serve others. to bless them with her generosity and her love. Now, the commentaries on our scripture text say that this kind woman most likely lived in a mud brick home that overlooked the docks and the beach, where she could go to her upper room or her rooftop and watch the needy begging or scavenging on the beach. And compassion would overwhelm her, and she would put her hands to work to take care of the practical needs that God would reveal to her. And God noticed her good deeds. Church, I can tell you that there are needy people in every community. Jesus said, "The poor you will have with you always." And in 2011, I left my position at the Charlevoix Assembly of God, which is now called the Centerpoint Assembly of God, to start a new street-level ministry here in Charlevoix, which was called Third Day Fellowship and Outreach, to minister to those people who were walking our streets, the lonely, the downtrodden, and the outcast, the addicted, the abused, the homeless, unwed mothers, single parents, couch kids, kids from dysfunctional or broken homes, substance abusers, and alcoholics, people who show their distaste for life, their emotional and their inner pain in their dress, their hair, the tattoos and piercings, pain that is worn on the outside of their bodies. I ran Third Day for 10 years, ministering in the trenches, meeting people where they are at, where they live, on the street level. I felt that God was calling us to meet people right where they were, and show the love of Jesus so that they will learn that there is a God who loves them with an unconditional and agape love. Everything we did in that ministry was, and currently in Joppa House, is based on the love and compassion of Jesus. And out of that love, we see people transformed right before our very eyes. Just because someone cares about them. So, let's go back to our story. You see, poor Tabitha, in our scripture, fell ill and died suddenly. Acts 9:37 says, "But it happened in those days that she became sick and died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room." When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. So who are the they's? They were all of those people who were recipients of her kindness. They returned her kindness to them by caring for her in her death. They cared so much for her that they wept. They loved her so much that they would not accept her death. You see, helping someone in need is not so much how much money you spend. Sometimes all someone needs is someone to care. Someone to notice, someone to listen. One act of kindness and it will be remembered for years in the hearts and minds of others. The people that Tabitha had made simple garments or blankets for were at her deathbed, weeping because they had lost her. Her love and generosity never forgotten by those she touched. She was their light, their lifeline, she was their hope, and now she was gone. When we have women come into our transitional home, that is exactly what they are like. They just need someone to talk to, someone to allow them to vent or cry on their shoulder, or just someone to wrap their arms around them and pour God's love into them and God's strength into them. It's life. Maybe to us it's an interruption or an inconvenience, but to them, it is life itself. The world doesn't look quite so intimidating when a person knows that they don't stand alone. Sometimes all you need to know is that someone cares, that someone believes in them, and that someone is rooting for them. I always tell my girls that God is love. But when someone comes from a dysfunctional family, abuse or trauma, and/or addictions, they struggle believing that there is a God of love when everything in their lives have proven otherwise. Now, in Acts 9:38-39, the Apostle Peter was in the next town, and news of the miracles were known far and wide, and the people with Tabitha sent for Peter to come. So Peter went to the home of Tabitha in Joppa, And there in the upper room where the body was laid in state, Peter was met by people everywhere. People in a state of despair, widows weeping over the loss of their friend. They showed Peter the tunics and garments that Tabitha had so generously given them. They paid tribute to the kindness that she was known for by honoring her in death with her, by her good works. But listen to what happens next. Verses 40 to 42. But Peter puts them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. So Peter puts them all out, and in the quiet and the privacy of the room, he kneels and prays. And he says, "Tabitha, arise." She opens her eyes and sits up. And do you know what happens next? Then he gave her his hand, and he lifted her up, and he called the saints and the widows, and he presented her alive. He gave her his hand and presented her alive. You see, Joppa House is set up to train women how to break out of the cycle of addiction, to give them that hand. Transform their mindset so they won't find themselves back in the same situations that caused them to pick up drugs and alcohol in the first place. Training and dealing with trauma, interpersonal relationships, budgeting, time management, respect, integrity, character. Our heart's desire is to give our residents a hand up and not a hand out. And to give them a hand up, we have to transform the mind, both emotionally and spiritually, to teach them that everything that we do is actually worship unto the Lord. That everything that we do it as well as we can, simply out of our love for God. We want to bring those who are dead inside in to recognize the hand of God in their lives, because it is God who takes their hand and lifts them up and presents them alive, alive in him. To let his redeeming love breathe life back into people's hearts and their spirits. Now I want to introduce to you one of my girls, one of my girls who are going to graduate on June 1st from our program. I'm very pleased to announce Lisa Sanders, who is going to be 1 year clean at the end of this month.
Well, I'm Lisa, and I'm a woman in recovery. My glasses would help. I decided today that I am not going to speak a lot about my past experiences, because my experiences here at the Joppa House have shown me that my past doesn't define me. I will start by saying that on the 31st of this month, I will have 1 year clean and sober. To say that my whole life has changed for the better is an understatement. I am beyond grateful for Ginger and the Joppa House. Yes, it was my decision to go into treatment, but that was because God showed me, after many failed attempts, that I could not do it alone. When I left treatment, I was, I'm sure like everyone else is, very afraid. I didn't know where I was going, if I was going to make it, or who I could trust. All I really knew was that I would not be able to maintain my sobriety without God. I needed the relationship that I was slowly building with God, and I promised myself that I would try to fight to keep it. I figured that since the Joppa House was a Bible-based program, it would help me to stay true to that promise. It did that, and so much more. I am constantly receiving compliments on how well I carry myself. It was not always like that. I go out of my way to make sure that I am well put together because for many years in active addiction, I didn't like myself, nor did I care about my appearance. Now it is very important to me to look good. I've learned that when we look better, we feel better about ourselves. Joppa House has taught me the basic skills that I need in everyday living. Hygiene, cleaning, food safety. I didn't realize how important these things were until I actually started learning information that I wasn't aware of. I now know that the basics is the best place to start from because we are starting all over again, and therefore I need a refresher in learning everything all over again. Joppa House has also taught me the value of working hard and taking pride in what I do. That anything worth having will take time and work. The program also helped me to understand my gifts and talents. I like helping and working with others, so now I am a certified peer recovery coach. But most of all, Joppa House has taught me that I am a child of God. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. My journey in sobriety and recovery is just beginning, but as long as I know that God loves me and is with me, I will succeed. Thank you.
Isn't that terrific? Good job, Lisa. So Joppa House, a recovery residence for women struggling with addictions. It's a place of refuge, a place of hope, a place of new beginnings, a place of life. It's compassion in action. God raises people from the dead, and He is the one who presents them alive. We have an amazing opportunity to be the hands and the feet and the heart and the eyes of Jesus right here in our own community. It's love. It's all about love. It's all about compassion and action, serving the theys. The love of God that flows from the throne room and flows through us and flows into other people. God is love. And everyone responds to love. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for all the work that you do in Joppa House and all the work that you do in these women's lives, Lord. And I know how gracious and just you are in helping them to get through all of the things that they have to face in their lifetime, Lord, and all of the things that they have to do to be whole again and to allow you to get into those places that we hide in our hearts, Lord, to provide that inner healing that only you can provide, that only you can take those stones in their heart and make them soft flesh. So, Lord, we just thank you for the work that you're doing in each of these girls, Lord. And I just pray a blessing over them, that you will fill them in abundance today, Lord, that their joy will overflow like a shaken up Coca-Cola bottle, Lord, that will just effervesce out of them. And I just pray that for them today, Lord. And I pray a blessing over each and every person in this room, Lord, that you will bless them today, and Lord, and just keep them and let your face shine upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10, says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed." Have a very blessed Mother's Day. God bless you.